I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What up, player, profiler, faithful? It's Matty Keeboom. Welcome to the latest episode of The Game Plan. Today, we are jumping into the rookie rankings because a big event happened just last week, the NFL Rookie Combine. Have you heard of it? And I have a very, very special guest. So get out your pens and your pads and let's start game planning to dominate our Dynasty Fantasy Football Leagues. My guest today is making, I believe, his third or fourth appearance on The Game Plan. He is the host of the Dynasty Life podcast show, press coverage, and first class fantasy here on the Player Profiler Network of shows. He is also my co-host on the Futurecast. I'm talking about the OG, Mr. Theo Greminger. And actually, let me add, the highest viewed game plan of all time.
Take that, Cody Carpenter. Take that, Derek Brown. Take that, Pat Fitzmaurice. I hold the record for most views on The Game Plan. I think we did something similar to this, and it just resonated with the community where when we talk rookie draft strategy, Matty, the people line up. The Game Plan is like, it's lit this time of year. You got 2 months till rookie drafts, man. It's time to get after it. I'm so excited to talk rookies with you. I feel like I've been talking rookies nonstop all week, and every time I sit down with somebody like you, somebody like Cody Carpenter, Alan Soslowski, Heath Cummings, it doesn't matter, like, I'm learning new things. There's little tidbits about this class. You know, all four positions have interesting players. I think that this is a really big year for us as dynasty managers. It's a little bit of a transformative year. We saw last year how impactful that class was. We now see like 12 of the top 55 on underdog, our class of 2023 guys in the early underdog drafts. And I think this class could have that kind of impact. So I'm stoked, man. I'm really excited to talk shop with you.
Yeah, definitely happy to have you on. You know, we did the Futurecast that's out now, 4-man mock draft over 3 rounds. But now we can kind of dive into the weeds together. We can kind of talk about all of some of our narratives, some of the takeaways that we've talked about in other shows that we've done this week. And we can kind of hopefully put it into a nice conversation because, like I said, it's that, like you said, it's that time of the year. I think, 45-ish days away from the NFL draft. I'll see you in Detroit, my friend. Yeah. That's another very, very exciting time of the year, right?
So excited for that. We have some really cool announcements. You know, a lot of the people you're used to seeing last year, Matty Keeboom, Cody Carpenter, Podfather, myself, we're all going to be back in the draft house. But we also have Memphis Young is going to be streaming with us. Bradley Stalder is going to be streaming with us. And then we have a lot of very exciting guests that we will be announcing over the next few weeks where you're not just going to be hearing from, you know, the Roto Underworld player profiler. Oh, Alex Dunlap, I should say, he'll also be on the stream like he was last year. But you're going to hear from a number of new voices, especially day three, which can sometimes be a little bit not less interesting, but not as captivating as day one and day two. Day three, you're going to have some really, really cool guests. Some of the dynasty analysts that you know kind of across fantasy football are going to be joining us on like our ever-growing NFL draft coverage. I'm so excited for it, Matty. It's a lot of hard work. Like, a lot goes into it. We all travel to Detroit. You have to talk about like we're operating like multiple cameras, multiple microphones. We do not stop streaming. Like you know, it's like being on a podcast for like 6 hours. But it's a lot of fun and it's going to be awesome to hang out with you and all these people that I speak to daily, but I rarely get to see. I see you like once or twice a year tops. Yeah. So it's going to be like really nice to see you in person and Cody and all these people that I'm like good friends with, you know, through Player Profiler.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I can't wait to see the guys again. And then also me, I've never met Memphis in person. Very excited for that. Bradley. So it's going to be awesome to be in Detroit covering that. And day three isn't that necessarily that it's boring. I think it's burnout. I think we're all kind of, we're a little burnt out. It's a long, better, it's long a better,
it's a better word for it. It's yeah. a better word for it. Yeah. And I feel like for me, I'm different than you and Cody, where you and Cody can talk about the defensive players drafted in like the sixth and seventh round, the deep, deep, deep offensive linemen. Like my focus is towards the fantasy end of it. And I feel like on day three, it's a lot of my focus ends up being like wrapped up to, hey, let's talk a little bit more about what happened on day one and day two, because it's always so fresh in my mind. And then, right. of course, we have to get the Roschon Johnsons, the Puka Nacuas, these guys that come out into the day three as well for fantasy focus. But it's a really nice balance we have in the house of different voices and opinions. We don't always agree, but it's I think we're crushing it. And I think it's going to continue to grow. People who consume fantasy football want to hear fantasy football takes on the NFL draft. Like, all due respect to the big networks, there's people that are never going to get away from them. But I think every year there's more people that are fantasy driven that are going to be drawn into streams like ours. And I think it'll continue to grow. I think it's a really, really fun and a great idea. And we're going to try to keep building on it.
Player Profiler draft coverage is honestly, last year was, we took such a, in my opinion, such a groundbreaking step to production for the draft. No one else had a full house of all these guys from the same network streaming there. I did the game plan there, trade gods there, you know, everyone did their own shows there. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. And this year is just going to be all that much fun. So be on the lookout for that, because it's going to be sick. I guess we'll just dive right into the NFL Combine. It's come, it's gone.
I've been.
Workout numbers. We got testing metrics. We got measurables. We got all this stuff. All this information has now been dumped on us. So it was the time that everyone is recalibrating their rankings, their risers, their fallers. So, Theo, give me some risers from the NFL Combine that the game planners tuning in today should put on their radars, move up their own personal rankings, and get ready to target come their rookie season.
So for me, probably the number one takeaway is for a few months, I've been taking a bullish approach on this running back class. And I think the combine really helped that. There was a big pushback in the community that this is a year to sort of avoid running backs. There's not too many impactful running backs. We're not going to see a lot of guys drafted on day two, even became a big narrative. But I think at the end of the day now, we are going to see six running backs selected by the end of round three. And we had a number of wins at the NFL Combine. Trey Benson is probably the biggest winner. It was a guy that we needed to see weigh in at a decent weight and run a good 40-yard dash time. He was a player that we're banking a lot on draft capital and athleticism, and he certainly checked off boxes there with a 4.39 40-yard dash. I think Jalen Wright was really a big winner. Also running a blazing 40, 210 pounds. I think the chances of him being drafted on day two are, it's almost a lock at this point for me. And then there was Blake Corum. I think Blake Corum running a 4.53 40-yard dash. And how can we forget Marshawn Lloyd, 220 pounds, runs a 4.46. So a few of the running backs that we were high on all helped themselves immensely. And wide receiver-wise, you know, we're not going deep here. But Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, the chances of us seeing a record-breaking number of wide receivers selected in round one, I think goes up. And I think that makes our rookie draft picks a lot more valuable. So those are not guys that the game plan audience is unfamiliar with. But I will say low-key, one position that really won the day was tight end. And tight end has no buzz after Jatavion Sanders and, of course, Brock Bowers at the top. But we saw a number of tight ends in this class hit athletic measurables that we love to see. There's one position in the NFL that you really need to be athletic in to have success, and that's the tight end position. Of course, wide receiver and running back, you know, there's, you want to see fast and athletic dudes too, but tight end, it's a great measure of fantasy success. Almost every tight end that you like and you start on your fantasy team and you're getting production from runs a sub 4.740, and we had a ton of 4.65 or faster guys at the combine. So I think it was a lot of winners. If you start adding up on your hand guys who help themselves versus guys who hurt themselves at like a high level, Maddie, I think we're going to walk away with more guys that help themselves. So exciting, exciting draft when we put it into focus with the combine.
That's right. A lot of speed was actually recorded. I think it was the fastest average 40 time amongst wide receivers ever
at the combine. Eight sub 4.4. Sub 4.4. Yeah, like guys are flying.
Guys are flying, and what we had coming into this draft was we knew that they were big receivers, that it wasn't like 2023 that these receivers were big, but they were still fast. Matter of fact, they were the fastest, so that has to help. At the NFL Combine, it felt like you could just see some of the people there in attendance, namely Jim Harbaugh, who they maybe gravitated to, who reached hurdles. And I will say this about Blake Corum: you may look at that 4.53 and say that it's not fast enough, but I tell you that Jim Harbaugh did one of these when it happened. He went, so he hit, that was a threshold I'm assuming Blake Corum was trying to get to, and that's going to put him on the NFL radar. The NFL is going to love him. He had the biggest media scrum amongst running backs, so you always have to factor that in with Blake Corum. But yeah, those are some of the risers. Stick around because we're going to continue to dive into the rookie ranks. We're going to break these things down post-combine. But first, here's a way you can dominate your dynasty leagues.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer. So you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team. And then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing, and it's going to be well worth it.
Matty Kiwum here, joined by the OG, Theo Greminger. We're talking about rookie rankings post-NFL Combine. We talked about some risers. Now, let's look on the other side of the coin, the more negative side at that. What players saw their stock kind of fall after their combine performances?
Yeah, I mean, we start at the running back position. I think it's Bucky Irving was a player that I was really, really excited about, led the nation in running back receptions last year at Oregon. We've had this run of like these 190-pound running backs that have been performing very well. And the community, the dynasty community, was really ready for Bucky Irving to be kind of the next one. And he ends up being a little lighter than we wanted, a lot slower than we wanted. It was a little bit unfortunate because this was a guy that I think the chances of him being drafted on day two are kind of out the window. And it's harder to bet on this profile from day three. He could definitely still make an NFL roster. I think he's still a guy that we don't want to ignore, but he's not a guy that we want to sink high-end rookie draft capital into. Audric Estime was a guy that we were also very excited about. I know the two of us, along with John Lobb, were very excited about Audric Estime now for months, and he runs this exceedingly slow 40, which didn't really match up well to the profile. I'm still interested to see if he can turn that around sort of at Notre Dame's pro day as a chance of kind of like a get back. You're talking about a guy who had so many breakaway touchdowns, but if he doesn't show us a little more speed, it's hard to bet on that sort of profile, especially with the sort of guys that we're able to take in this class that are really kind of next level athletes that are going to have the draft capital. And then Troy Franklin. I mean, Troy Franklin was a guy that I was pounding the table for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I think you have to adjust him based on his combine performance a little bit, especially when you put into comparison that we're going to see like 17 wide receivers drafted by the end of day three. So we're going to get so many profiles that we can bet on. I'm not out on Troy Franklin, but I am certainly out on using a high-end first-round rookie pick in single QB leagues. There's just too many good profiles to bet on for me. Troy Franklin, mega producer, but he weighs in less than we wanted. He's a little shorter than we wanted. The 40 time was supposed to be in the 4.3s, gets the 4.41. 4.41 is still fast, Maddie, but then he, you know, Cody and a couple guys like yourself who were there were concerned about how he looked in some of the drills as well. So just not a great combine for him, and the chances of him being a first-round pick in the NFL draft go down as well. So I think those three are kind of ones I've circled kind of as guys that certainly didn't help themselves at all.
Let me ask you this. So we've had rookies on the mind, obviously, for longer than the week, but especially this week. And I've been thinking about this because Bucky Irving's a faller. Troy Franklin's a faller. In my opinion, at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine, Bo Nix has done nothing to truly improve his stock. Are we going to now have to look at the program at Oregon as a bit of a fugazi, an offense that can just run at such a high level that I can inflate surface stats of what seems to be mediocre profiles? So what are your thoughts on just looking at the players that come out of Oregon going forward, so people tuning in now can maybe either put it on their watch list or at least keep an eye on it?
Well, so last year we saw, you know, the whole discussion of the Tennessee Volunteers about how we need to sort of adjust our expectations because of the style of the offense inflates the stats a little bit. Hendon Hooker, Jalin Hyatt are not going to be first-round type picks despite their first-round type stats in the SEC. And the NFL kind of showed that to you. I'm of the opinion that Oregon, I say it incorrectly, Maddie, all the time. People bust my chops for how I pronounce it. So the Ducks. I'll take it year by year. I hate saying that it's a program thing. I think it could just sort of be like the offense certainly rose expectations with the production that they had. But I'd push back a little bit on Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix sort of is what he is. He's not going to be the kind of guy that wows anybody at a combine type event. I think for me, Bo Nix still could sneak into the first round. There's a number of NFL teams that are going to look at Bo Nix as an improvement for what they currently have on the roster, and sort of an above replacement level quarterback is kind of in his potential outcomes. So Bo Nix, I think, if anything, like Bo Nix sort of helped elevate this a little bit. And Troy Franklin will still go in round, I'd say round two, round three. So it's not like he's dust. So I don't think we need to bury the Ducks. Like Justin Herbert's still a pretty good player.
Oh, for sure. But that was before, right? That was before Lanning was up there. I believe.
Lanning's getting dudes every year.
Evan Stewart is the guy that could buck this trend. But the reason why I want to put it on the thought process, why I want all the game players tuning in to at least keep it in the back of their minds, because next year we're going to see Dylan Gabriel and Tez Johnson. Tez Johnson's a former three-star that looked great last year that seemingly could elevate his role going into 2024. And Dylan Gabriel's on his 17th school in 14 years in college. So, but he could also get that Bo Nix bump. So I just want to keep an eye on it. Not saying it's done, and never will I ever, you know, call a kid's performances in college negative. It just maybe – maybe we should just pump the brakes on some of the prospects that are coming out of there and just keep it for what they are. Don't overinflate it because of their godly numbers in college. But just something to think about. The next question I want to ask you is kind of the most fun one. It's the one that we can kind of put our muck boots on and dive in deep, get a little dirty here. Name a few sleepers that have emerged for you post-combine.
Well, two guys that I think really helped themselves out at the running back position that we need to have on our fantasy football radars are Dylan Lobby out of New Hampshire, a guy that you've been high on for a while, Maddie. But everything we wanted to see out of Bucky Irving, we saw out of Lobby. And this is a guy that was a big-time producer when it came down to it at New Hampshire. And what he does really, really well is he catches the football. Right now, I think he's got to be a top 10 running back in this class. The chance that he could get drafted in round four, he had a 97 speed score, which was exactly what we kind of want to see. His speed score was neck and neck with Blake Corum. So Lobby gives you a 4.5 4.40 at 206 pounds with that sort of receiving profile. The NFL teams are having him work out at wide receiver as well. For me, I think that's a testament to his versatility. And then another player who has sort of been a slow drip. There's been like a hive for him, but Kamani Vidal of Troy State runs a 4.46 40 at 213 pounds, gives him a 107 speed score, which puts him behind the Bensons, the Wrights, and the Lloyds. But it puts him right in that wheelhouse of like, raise a couple of eyebrows. If he lands well, that could be a guy that I think really takes a step forward. And then certainly wide receiver Malik Washington is a guy that's gained a lot with me. I think Malik Washington, I had Brett Whitefield on press coverage this week, who's sort of does a lot of similar things that Cody does, like in more an NFL draft guy as well as a fantasy guy, also like yourself, Maddie. And he thinks Malik could sneak into day three. And if he does, I think he becomes a major, major value. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be hard for NFL teams to pass on him in the third round. Basketball background, played quarterback in high school, goes to Northwestern, they don't really pass the ball. So he goes to UVA, has this insane year this year, 110 receptions, 1,400 receiving yards, sort of like the only player you really wanted at UVA offensively, and defenses could not stop it. And then he goes to the Shrine Bowl, not the Senior Bowl. So Shrine Bowl, he rips it up, but people are like, whatever, it's the Shrine Bowl. And he ends up crushing the combine, 192 pounds, 5'8 and a half. So he's got kind of a little Debo type build, a mini Debo, thick running back size guy. And he leads all wide receivers with a 42 and a half inch vertical and a 4.47 40 yard dash. So now we've seen the production, we've seen the athleticism, interesting profile. Malik Washington's one for me that I definitely want to have exposure to on my dynasty teams. I just hope he doesn't steam up too much with NFL teams. I mean, we always look for like the Tank Dells, and you know, that could be a little Tank Dell.
It's weird, right? I mean, Tank Dell, Puka Nacua, those are the two names that everyone's comparing. Who's this year's version of that player? But I'm not hearing many people call Malik Washington this year's version of Tank Dell when he is built like a tank. I saw him in Indy, and I was, whoa, this kid is
great. Yeah, he's rocked up for sure. Yeah.
And he was one of the thing about Tank Dell that is always forgotten is the fact that he led the nation in receiving yards. Crazy production. Malik Washington was amongst the college leaders in receiving yards. And now 4.47 speed, 74th percentile. He's got a great burst. Why wouldn't people be talking about Malik Washington as a possible 2024 version of Tank Dell? And just want to real quick about Dylan Lobby. He looks like Rex Burkhead. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But he don't play like Rex Burkhead. He is fast. You mentioned some of the workout metrics. He had the best, not the second best, not the third best, but the best shuttle in amongst running backs. He was clocked at over 20 miles an hour on multiple days at the Senior Bowl. This kid has workout speed and game speed and has the ability to catch a football. So make sure he is on your radar, planners.
And so Maddie, he's from Long Island.
He's from Strong Island, baby.
That's where I live. So we're rooting for, go ahead, Dylan. We want to see you tearing it up in the league.
Yeah, and I asked a lot of players at the combine if we should draft him in fantasy. Just a fun little question that got a lot of the guys smiling, a lot of the guys good vibes. He had the best answer. He had absolutely the best answer. He broke it down. He could catch the ball, so he could play receiver. He could play your flex. He said it was perfect. Great answer. So we're all rooting for Dylan Lobby. The top three receivers, okay, they're ballers. They're game changers. They are franchise-altering wide receivers. Roma Dunsey, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. All of them are studs. So we're not worrying about ranking them in this class. We all know they're 1, 2, 3. We all know they're in a tier of themselves. But where do you have these guys in your overall dynasty ranks at wide receiver?
All three of them are in my top 12, Maddie. Roma. Yes. I think Roma Adunze, I'm pushing into the top 12. This is probably the best value if you're trying to chase it in like best ball drafts, early underdog drafts. Like, he's probably like wide receiver 30-ish right now. Definitely a value. I think he'll be drafted closer to low end wide receiver 2 when it's all said and done in redraft and in best ball. He's going to be a top 10 pick, 6'3", 212 pounds, averaged more fantasy points per game than any wide receiver. I mean, you talk about Malik Washington production. Roma Dunze is doing that, and also he's doing it next to two wide receivers that I think will be drafted inside of the first four rounds of the NFL draft. I think Jalen Polk is going to end up being a, let's call him a second, third round pick, and let's call Jalen McMillan a early day three guy if he can't sneak into the end of day two. Both of those guys are going to be gone by the end of round four, and Roma Dunze still dominated everything for his team. This is a fantastic player. Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., I think that the community is already pushed up into wide receiver one land. I think the question with Marvin Harrison Jr. is when you start comparing him to Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, that tier. And I think certainly I'm taking him over any of those guys except for Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that's a conversation. Just the immense upside, Maddie, for Marvin Harrison Jr. And then Malik Nabers, I think for me, he's inside of, you know, probably the top nine, top 10.
Yeah.
I've seen a trade go down in an FFPC league, single QB league, where one of the better FFPC managers, tons of skin in the game, pivoted Garrett Wilson straight up for the 102 in single. People are doing trades like that because I think they know what Malik Nabers could become. And at the end of the day, Maddie, we're not like betting on profiles at this point. We're also betting on, like, we know these guys are going to go inside of the top 12 picks in the NFL draft. So great indicator of incredible talent. Some of the guys we've seen in the past, the Julio Joneses, the Calvin Johnsons, the Jamar Chases, these truly elite guys get truly elite draft capital. And these three guys are no different. So I'm pushing them all up in the dynasty rankings.
The overall bump is coming because the landing spots projected for these top receivers are pretty dang good, if you want my opinion. I mean, if the Bears go with one of them at 9 to match up with Caleb Williams, we love it. Getting Kyler Murray, his wide receiver 1, we love it. Having Justin Herbert get another weapon, the heir apparent to the wide receiver 1 on the team, we love it. And hell, even in Tennessee with Will Levis, we like the arm enough that if they go there and they establish themselves as the wide receiver 1, as we expect, all three of these guys are going to be immensely valuable pieces in our dynasty games if they aren't already. So
I love that you included Tennessee, Maddie, because I think also, like, when we look at what Callahan did in Cincinnati stylistically as a coordinator, the immense success we saw with Jamar Chase in his rookie season, and if he ends up with a player like a Roma Dunze or a Malik Nabers at that seventh overall pick, that becomes the focal point of their offense early on. So I've actually circled Tennessee and Denver as two places that people don't want any part of for pass catchers, but the opportunity to be the focal point of the offense, to be a high target earner for those three wide receivers, as well as Brock Bowers, is really, really exciting. Those are like fun landing spots for me. I like the Tennessee one, and I don't really, it's not even a Will Levis argument. It's just a lack of young pass catchers who've done anything in the league. Opportunity to be the focal point of an offense in Tennessee with Derrick Henry on the way out and a new coach who's known for, you know, moving the ball through the air. So I think that Tennessee is a fun landing spot.
Three wide receivers. We're not arguing. They're studs. They're not going to bust. We don't see busts in their profile, but That doesn't go for everyone, right, Theo? So which guy from this class, after you saw them in the combine, are you labeling the bus candidate of the year?
You know, it's a really tough one for bus candidates. I think for me, Maddie, there's a lot of these guys I like. Certainly, the higher they're selected in the NFL draft, the more likelihood of failing mm-hmm. to deliver. Brian Thomas Jr., maybe if he ends up at the 105 in single QB, becomes something where I feel like he might be getting drafted towards his peak value. And I don't think he's necessarily the one I have him as wide receiver 4 in the class. Mm-hmm. But I think like him and Xavier Worthy might steam up to a point that it's hard for them to give us return on investment at their rookie price. But I like both of them. I also think there's a chance that Adonai Mitchell gets steamed up to that spot depending on landing spot. Like if Adonai Mitchell lands at 32 overall to Kansas City or something like that, people are going to go nuts for. But honestly, I really believe in the quality of this wide receiver class. It's very deep. There's a lot of guys on day 1, 2, and 3 that I think are coming into the league ready to go. And we look at last year's class, like Quentin Johnston was a bust. Yeah. And then we saw Jonathan Mingo bust. We saw Jackson Smith and Jigba fail to deliver expectations. But JSN hasn't lost a ton of dynasty value despite having mm-hmm. only 600-something yards receiving. This class is just better than last year. And last year had so many hits. I think wide receivers are coming into the league more ready to go than in years past. And we're seeing, you know, we've seen a wide receiver finish in the top 6 scores of the position in 3 out of the last 4 years. I don't know if this is necessarily a class that I want to fade completely in any regard. Even doesn't matter where I'm picking in my rookie draft. I want to have access to this wide receiver class. You know, if you're a high volume manager, I want you to have access to several of these guys. And I'll push back on the Keon Coleman busting. Mm-hmm. I know that's a guy that, like, Keon Coleman to me, I think the fact that he runs the 4.6 might actually make him more appealing because you're not going to have to use a potential very high rookie pick on him like you would in the past few weeks, it was looking like. So I don't know, Matty. It's sort of a cop-out answer. I think we'll know more when we know the rookie draft price for avoids at cost, more so than fading the profile.
You know what? The question was there, but I honestly don't have an answer myself because Brian Thomas is kind of being labeled that guy, and I know he has probably a thin margin for error given his skill set on an offense. But he could still go to the Buffalo Bills, and we are throwing up a confetti. We're very, very excited about that and that type of profile being there. What I will say for a cautionary tale for all the planners listening is if anyone you hear start getting steamed up into the top 3 tier, that is where you should start avoiding. No one, no matter what situation they go to, should be steamed up into the Adunzi, Neighbors, Harrison tier. So if Thomas, you start hearing people say, I got Thomas with those top 3. Red flag. I got Adonai Mitchell with those top 3. Red flag. That is where you're right. You can get in trouble overinflating the value and then putting expectations on a player that doesn't necessarily deserve those type of high-end expectations. So that is where you can find some problems.
You make a great point, Maddie. I think it's also a fact that the tier between wide receiver 4 and whatever your cutoff point, whether it's wide receiver 8, wide receiver 9, that super appealing next tier, that's a larger tier than like the top 3. And I think when it comes down to it, like that top 3, the gap between wide receiver 3 and wide receiver 4 is there, despite the appeal of guys like Worthy, the guys like Thomas, Mitchell, Ladd McConkey. They're just not in that truly elite tier. That tier is going to go in contention for wide receiver 1 overall many seasons, the Neighbors and the Aroma Dunze. I think both of those guys would have been wide receiver 1 in the 2023 class ahead of JSN. And I think both of those guys would have probably been right there in discussion with Garrett Wilson and Drake London for wide receiver 1 as prospects in that 2022 class as well.
I agree. We're going to see probably a similar draft pattern in 2023, except it'll happen in the very beginning of round 1, not in the 20s. You'll see the top 3 come off the board, but it'll probably be in the top 10. The 3 of those guys will probably come up in the top 10. So that's the difference of skills there. And my mock 3.0 is on its way. It's going to be out in the next few days. So there are some juicy landing spots. I love them. They're fun, and I think they're realistic. But don't steam them up to the top three. That is the cautionary tale. We talked a little bit about running backs in the beginning of the show, some of the risers of the class after great performances at the NFL Combine. But I want to ask you this because it's becoming such a vague evaluation for the class in general. Where would you have guys from 2023, the guys like Roschon Johnson, Kendre Miller, Zach Charbonnet, where would they rank in this 2024 class? Because maybe that helps gives the planners a little bit of a compass as to how they should be evaluating this class as opposed to last class.
Charbonnet was the guy that I really liked throughout the process, and I think that Charbonnet was a second rounder last year, just happens to land in the situation that was probably the worst for him in terms of a pathway to bell cow work. But I think Charbonnet would have been, let's say, you know, he would have been a lock to be top five in this class. And I think it's a little bit of a, I saw Matt asking like Alex Dunlop this week on Mind a Mansion, pressing him to like where Roschon Johnson would be in this class. And Alex like gave some pause to it. And I'm like, Alex, Roschon Johnson would not be in contention for number one in this class. I think that's hindsight thinking to think that he would have a fourth rounder in 2023 would be a running back one consideration in this class. I do not see that. I mean, look at how much more successful Jonathan Brooks was at Texas than Roschon. And certainly Bijan was there, but like he looked better than Roschon at any point, even in the limited touches. Kendre Miller, interesting one, because Kendre, if he would have gone back to school at TCU with his profile, probably would have been in the mix. And then Charbonnet, like, I think he'd be there too. I don't know. I think that this class, again, is underrated. When we look at speed scores for how those guys did, like Marshawn Lloyd is a bigger back like Charbonnet, and he's faster. And he's also going to get the similar draft capital, better speed score. Blake Corum was more productive in college than any of the backs you listed. And then when we get down to it, Jalen Wright is faster than any of those guys. Jalen Wright, Devon Achane, that could be how some NFL teams view using Jalen Wright at the next level after seeing the success of Achane. So it's an interesting one. And I think the idea of re-rolling last year's guys for this year's guys is, and the term re-rolling in Dynasty is, I basically trade for value just to get that rookie pick.
Yep.
The idea of being able to flip one of these guys to get access to one of these new running backs, it might not be the worst idea because the path to touches simply might land better for some of these rookies than these guys in current situations. Charbonnet is a guy who we need to see an injury to Ken Walker to really open things up for. Roschon, as much as we like him at Player Profiler, I don't know if there's that sort of attachment in Chicago. Khalil Herbert is still there. He's still cheap. Roschon showed he can catch the football at the next level. And the jury's out on Kendre Miller. I expected a little bit more out of Kendre Miller last year. I know he missed the beginning of the year with injuries, but I expected a little bit more out of Kendre. So it's the same coaching staff back in New Orleans. Just because he's a year older doesn't mean we take this next step. I still want Kendre Miller, but I think I would take any of these rookies over him now based on the fact that he didn't do it last year.
Yeah, and we're going to find some of that, right, with the 2024 guys. Some of our favorites are going to go to landing spots that have somebody there that we need an injury. We need to see how the season plays out. But, yeah, I think it was just interesting to bring it up because I think what we're realizing is once you remove Bijan, once you remove Jahmyr Gibbs from A-chain. The equation, they're in Achane, I would say, Achane, because he
got him. You got him, Maddie.
As such a dynamic player. It's a pretty similar, I think a pretty similar class in terms of very landing spot dependent, guys that you want in your roster, guys you're going to want to gobble up in the second, third, fourth rounds of your rookie draft. And even if they're not in an ideal situation, could find their way to playing time.
But say the one I want to buy, the year two back I want to buy right now, but nobody's selling, is Chase Brown. Chase Brown has the path one. Right now, especially with Mixon, you know, potentially not returning to Cincinnati. Cincinnati could obviously draft one of the backs we've referenced, but Chase Brown showed us so much as a high value touch guy last season on a limited sample size, has that sort of explosive ability, very, very fast back. And I think that he's shown enough as a receiver that we should get really excited about him in fantasy. That's the guy that I'm sort of like trying to buy right now from that 2023 class.
So Let me think. Let me ask you this then. This is kind of off the cuff. This isn't the show notes, but it's got my brain a churning. We talk about rolling over these running backs, taking these second year guys and moving for first for picks. But isn't there a good way to be successful in fantasy by doing the opposite? Because Tajay Spears is now the cleared runway for stardom in fantasy. Chase Brown now has a way clearer path this year to be super successful than he was last year. We saw it with Kyren Williams 3 years ago, 2 years ago, where it took him a year to marinate and find the opening for LA to be a stud. And I think now if there were to be a moving on from Alvin Kamara, which we are hearing a little bit of rumblings that the Saints may try to move on. Kendre Miller is now freed up to kind of rumble.
I think when I look at Kamara, I think a restructuring of a deal is probably the most logical outcome to the situation. Like, I don't see New Orleans with the same coaching staff sort of moving on from Kamara, especially with Derek Carr returning. They're not really overhauling the offense, and they were so reliant upon Kamara, like with what they did stylistically when he returned from suspension. But I do like your overall scenario that we do see a lot of running backs take big steps forward in year two. I still think we need to look at each and every situation, but there's sort of a trust factor from these NFL coaches. I feel like, especially on things like pass blocking, things like how they're used in the passing game. Mm-hmm. We saw James Cook take a big step forward. We saw Rashad White take a big step forward with Devin Singletary and Leonard Fournette being kind of cleared out of the way. So I think you could kind of go both ways with that argument, Matty. But I do think in terms of gaining dynasty value, the rookie running backs gain significant amount of dynasty value, probably a little more so than a year or two back taking a big step forward with respect being given to what Rashad White and James Cook did last year, Kyren Williams. We still didn't see the dynasty marketplace just go absolutely bonkers. If you have some crazy high trade for Kyren Williams in your dynasty league, definitely tweet that at us, but I'm not seeing it despite him giving us, RB1 production. It's sort of like an assumption that if you didn't do it out the gate, you're not quite that guy. I don't know if that's the right approach, but that's certainly how I'm seeing the trade market. Rashad White, you're not seeing like Rashad White go for the 105. And he was a top six running back in year two. You're not seeing James Cook go for anything besides a late first round pick. And he was a top 12 running back and looks like a Buffalo Bills focal point. So I really think it's a lot of the guys that are the truly special running backs for us in terms of dynasty value. And the running back position is generally diminished and not as valuable year in, year out. There's less and less running backs that command that incredibly high dynasty startup cost, the multiple first round pick value guys. The guys who do it in year one: Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey finishes as an RB1 as a rookie, Alvin Kamara finishes an RB1 as a rookie, Saquon Barkley finishes an RB1 with a rookie. So like your god tier, they're doing it as rookies. They're not taking like that big step in year two. So I don't know. I think the chance of getting a guy like, if Blake Corum lands in Los Angeles and finishes as RB10, based on the quality of the offense and his ability as a player, he's going to have a meteoric rise more so than if Roschon Johnson finishes as running back 18 because he catches 55 passes.
That's true. And that's the difference between process and then actual reality, because we want to follow certain processes. We like to run those smart processes when we're dynastying. But sometimes in reality, it's not there, because I'm with you. When you actually get into practice and get into the weeds, what you're finding in these league marketplaces is whoever rosters Kyren Williams, James Cook, Rashad White, they're not selling for even 100 cents on the dollar. They want a buck 50. They want a buck 25, and no one's paying that, which leads to stalemate of these guys just not moving.
Trade equity also just really matters for our dynasty teams. So like production really, really matters, of course. You can't get there to like the pinnacle of winning your league without really strong production. But if I don't have potential trade equity on my roster to make that final move that helps me get that push maybe in week 10 on, That's going to hurt my team. And that's right. having draft picks and not trading them all way too early. And that's having players that are appealing for managers that are in a rebuild. The rookie right. running backs are always going to hold that sort of appeal.
You got to have something in the back, in your back pocket to flip late in the league if you're looking to contend. There's no doubt about it. One last question. I'll get you out of here, Theo.
Sure.
What player from the 2024 rookie class are you, Mr. Theo OG Gremminger, planting your flag on? AKA, who's horny at tooting?
Man, that's a great one, Maddie. There's several guys that I mean, the top tier guys I've been selling out to try to get into the top tier to get them. I made a trade today in a big super flex league where I traded Jalen Hurts to get Kyler Murray in the 107 so I get Ooh. Access to the Roma Dunzes and Brock Bowers. I'm going spicy. I truly believe that this is a transformative year at the upper echelon. The three wide receivers we referenced and Brock Bowers, even if it feels like an overpay, getting those guys on my dynasty team, I don't think a year from now I'm going to be upset that I overpaid to get any of those guys if I land them. I also am really trying to get into the 108 in Superflex, and I'm trying to get in the 104, obviously, in single QB leagues. I'm willing to overpay. If you're in one of my leagues, you know I'm going to pay you $1.50 for a dollar on that. But I'll say a few guys that are really, really interesting to me that I think I'm going to have a great deal of. I think Ben Sinnott is one that I want to have a ton of. Kansas State tight end. I think he's going to get day two draft capital. Had the highest vertical leap of any tight end. Runs a 4.68 40. This is a guy that was moved all over the field at Kansas State. Led them in receiving yards. Led them in receiving touchdowns. They had a lot of balance in terms of their passing game, and Sinnott still led them in both categories. This is a guy that I think is a little bit under the radar, but I think he profiles as a guy that could be a big dynasty producer for us. And then wide receiver-wise, Matty, just based on how I think that rookie drafts are going to plan out, I think Roman Wilson will end up being a guy I get a lot of because he didn't do a whole lot at the combine. Guy runs a 4.41. It wasn't like he, you know, disappeared, but I think he's going to be a round two pick. And I think the fact that he didn't steam up in these, like, we were fully prepared for him to do a mini version of what Xavier Worthy did. It didn't happen. He also didn't work out in a number of drills. Makes me think he was maybe banged up at the combine. For him to sit out of things with that sort of athletic profile just doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think I'll end up with a lot of him at the end of second rounds. And then running back wise, I want to have access to my top six. I think yep. I believe in this running back class. I don't think that we're going to end up with a Jahmyr Gibbs or a Breece Hall or Bijan Robinson, but I think the amount of utility we're going to get out of this 2024 running back class, when we combine it with the narrative that all these hive mind dynasty people hate it and they don't want us to draft running backs, I could see myself coming away with two of the top six on a lot of my dynasty rosters. And I think that the outcome could be similar to what we saw in 2022, that 2022 class, Matty, we ended up with like nine of them in like the top 24 running backs last year. Mm-hmm. I think 2 years from now, we could be talking about how Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, like a lot of these guys are hitting and they're all inside of RB2 land. And they're guys that we're very happy to have on our dynasty rosters. I think they all kind of profile that way.
So it's instead of a player, let's say plant your flag on the top seven or eight pick in Superflex, and instead of getting those threes for running backs, get a couple more twos, because let's not pretend like the running back class might be a dud 1 through 24, 1 through 20, but 1 through 6, get a couple of those guys, get 2 or 3 of those guys. I think you'll be better off for it. I think that would be something that would be great process. And it'll be
early seconds, Matty. Early seconds. We've been talking about early seconds.
We love it on the future cast. Yeah. We love them.
You could make a case in single QB for trying to flip like the 107. I mean, again, if you need a quarterback, Caleb Williams is going to be there. Don't ignore that. But if you're set at every position, then this is the kind of year where if I could have like the 202 and the 203 instead of the 107 in certain leagues, I'm right. going to take my double shot on two of those running backs. And also, Matty, you can't have every single wide receiver drafted in the first round. So like there's been a couple of mock drafts this week that me and you have taken part in. I took a part in one with you that's going to drop on Player Profiler YouTube soon. And I did one with Cody, and like Ladd McConkey's right there at the yep. 1-2 turn in single QB. So him falling into the early second, or Adonai Mitchell falling into the early second, Roman Wilson coming up from the late second. Like, there's a lot you can do with those second round picks. There's a ton of value from like pick 11 through like pick 20 right now in our single QB leagues.
That's right. So go ahead and get those picks. Theo, thank you so much for joining the Game Plan. Tell all the people listening where they can get you, where they can find you, and where they can take in your content.
Yeah, you can find me right here on Player Profiler YouTube. All my shows are here. You can find Maddie and I dropping future cast episodes. We just did a mock draft with Austin Abbott and John Lobb. We're going to be doing mock drafts. We're going to do a lot of this rookie discussion heading right up into rookie draft season. You can find me on Dynasty Life, Sonic Truth, First Class Fantasy sometimes, and press coverage whenever I can record it. And my written work is at playerprofiler.com. You can find me on Twitter at the OG Fantasy. And maybe I'll be back here in the Game Plan. You never know, Maddie. We might have to squeeze one more.
Of course you'll be back, OG. You're my guy. I love having you on here. And make sure that you're tapping into all of Theo's work here at Player Profiler, because seriously, you are one of the hardest working dudes out there in the industry. The amount of conversations you're having, the topics you're bringing up, the amount of shows you crank out, it's unparalleled. It's truly inspirational for guys like me. So thank you for everything you do.
Appreciate that.
And if you want to rock with any of the stuff I'm doing, find me on X at Matty Keywell, playerprofiler.com. Mock Draft 3.0 is on the horizon. The big board's going to be expanded to the top 125. Got the Game Plan, Trade Gods, Future Cast, Blue Chips, and the Hurdle on Tuesdays. And don't forget patreon.com/theexecutives. I'm Matty Keywell, joined by the great OG Theo Greminger. Keep game planning, my friends, and I'll see you next time. Peace.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. Many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.